If you could take a guess as to what I'm going to talk about today, I hope you would think Thanksgiving, right? It's kind of easy for people giving a message when there's a holiday nearby, like, all right, I got the topic. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. If you're still a little lethargic from all the food, I understand. It's Thanksgiving, of course, we know is an annual day. For the brief history of the holiday, according to tradition, American tradition, it was first celebrated nearly 400 years ago in Boston. And most of the people who made it over here from England, I don't know how many, but a lot of them died, maybe over half. And they survived the winter. They got help from the natives around. And so and as an act of being grateful that they were alive, they held a feast with some of the natives. And they did so even subsequently, I think 2 years afterwards. First, they fasted, and then they feasted because they were grateful that they were surviving. But still, it was difficult. And if you've ever been to Boston in the winter, they must have really not wanted to be in England, because there's nothing more miserable than being in Boston in the winter. My brother went to school in Berkeley, in Boston, the music school, not the communist state in California. We were there, and I had a really big beard, and we were outside walking. And by the time we got inside, he had a big beard too. We had ice around our mouths. So cold. It was so ridiculously cold. I said, why would they stay here? But I guess England was really bad. So they thrived. Obviously, they survived, thank God. And then President Washington in 1789 also held a Thanksgiving celebration for the sake of the Union. And afterwards, there were different states that celebrated different forms of Thanksgiving, mainly up in the Northeast. It wasn't until 1863, at the behest of a woman who was writing to before even Lincoln, but kept pestering Lincoln to create a national day of Thanksgiving. It was interesting that he did it during the Civil War. It wasn't afterwards. I just found that really fascinating. And he could give thanks even in the midst of the country nearly tearing itself apart. So he made a proclamation out of D.C., and he said, on the last Thursday of every year, of November, we'll hold a Thanksgiving. And then I found out, interestingly enough, it was FDR who changed it to the second to last Thursday, so to help with revenue, because the country was in depression. So building up more time to shop, which for better for the economy. It's really interesting. But it became it's been a federal holiday since 1863. And like Bruce was saying, many people are thankful to go around the table and say, what are we thankful for? I at least hope most people do. You know, it's always my funniest, the remark that people make that's the most humorous to me is, I'm grateful somehow the universe has bestowed something upon me. And if you ever studied cosmology or astronomy, there's nothing that comes out of the universe. It's a giant vacuum. Actually, anything that goes into it, it destroys, essentially. All the things that lives out there is darkness and cold and inanimate objects. So how does it give you anything? It's really amusing. I mean, yeah, it's beautiful when you look at it, but if you think about what it's mostly made up of, it's just empty, dead, cold space. So how does it give you anything good? It's boggling, right? You have faith in God. I have faith in you, the universe. How could they even compare the two? So, you know, Washington, the pilgrims obviously were devout followers of Yeshua. Washington, although he was a Mason, they did talk about God explicitly. They weren't like our politicians today. They were explicit about who gave us these rights. Of course, Jefferson, even in the Declaration of Independence, talks about our rights come from God himself. Lincoln talks about God. We are thankful to God. Period. So even when people talk about the separation of church and state, so be it. But the fact is, this country and many of the things we do are based around and thankful to God himself. So, all right, the rant's over. But I wanted to point out something special that when there's a verse, we're going to Ephesians 5. This will be the basis of this. In Ephesians 5, starting in 15. So pay close attention to Ephesians 5, verse 15. So pay close attention to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise. Basically, what's come before this is that he's told them how they've come out of darkness and they've come into light, that they've woken out of death, and now they're unto new life. So he admonishes them, walk as wise people, because now you see God, the light of God is shining upon you, therefore you are children of light. 16, make the most of your time because the days are evil. And I think we can attest to that. Even though this was written 2,000 years ago, certainly we can see this. For this reason, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. This also speaks about people. They kind of run around aimlessly looking for something, but our job when we're thinking about stuff is, what is the will of God in this situation? What does God want? Sometimes it's big and grand. Other times it can be very simple things. And like Brendan was saying, what is good? Maybe God has something for me to speak to somebody else. We should be constantly listening to what our Father says. And just like Yeshua said, I speak only what I hear the Father say to me. Shouldn't it be all the more for us? In 18, do not get drunk on wine, for that is recklessness. Instead, be filled with the Ruach. This is what I found interesting. What an interesting juxtaposition. Don't get drunk, right? This leads to lawlessness, to debauchery, it says, or to recklessness, right? It turns you into an idiot. But you get, it's fascinating, as you see in Acts 2, when the Spirit fell upon the people, the followers, what were they accused of being? Drunk at 9 in the morning. So clearly when you're in, he's juxtaposing being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit. When you're in the Spirit, you may do something in the natural that may seem a little bit strange to other people. But look what happened in Acts 2. Maybe he was strange for a brief period of time, but it led to the salvation of thousands. And also, maybe in your former life, or you've seen movies, when people get drunk, they tend to talk a lot and sing, right? Especially like the old ships, when they're on the ships and the guys are drinking and they're singing songs. But notice here then in 19, speaking to one another. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your heart to the Lord. So again, you see that here, even if you will, being drunk in the Spirit, it does lead you not to singing silly bar songs, but to singing songs that praise God and that uplift people and that invite the presence of God to come into our midst. And then here's the clincher. Always. What did I say? Thanks, Jill. What did I say? Oh. Always giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Always giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. So there's two things to notice here. One is always, and two, for everything. And this is what I'm going to talk about. Again, always and everything. Thanksgiving for America is once a year. For those who are in the kingdom, it's every day. And it's not for turkey. It's for all things. Although turkey's great, but we can thank God for all things. And we're going to go and see how and why and this is possible and what good does it do for us. First things, so fascinating, some of you may know this. When the 12 children of Jacob were named, people were named based upon something that happened, whether they're with their birth or a prophecy connected to it. When Leah came to name her son Judah, Yehuda, she says, now I will thank God for this child. So she named him Yehuda, which comes from the word to give thanks. So she was grateful to have this son, so she named him one who praises God. So someone calls themselves a Jew, Yehudi, it's the same word. They're one who thanks God. Isn't that cool? that the kingdom of Judah are the people who thank God. In Psalm 50, you don't have to turn to these if you want to. Great. If you don't, I'll and give you the references afterwards. In Psalm 50, at the very end of the psalm, it says a sacrifice of praise. It's Thanksgiving. Zevach Todah honors me. And to the one who orders his way, I will show him the salvation of God. Which I find fascinating. It says, well, it says in the Hebrew, Zoveach Todah Yechabdani. The one who sacrifices thanksgiving to me is the one who honors me. This is extremely important. Talk about honoring God. One of the main ways we can do this is to give him thanksgiving. Now, we know that there was an offering in the temple, a thanksgiving offering we read about in Leviticus 7. And it was a special offering given. It was not an animal offering. It was matzahs and oil. And they would give it as part of, connected with the shlamim offering or the peace offerings, which was, again, not an animal sacrifice. And it was also correlated to the free will offering mentioned in Leviticus 2, which was not animal sacrifice, and people could do on their own volition. And what's really fascinating is the rabbis comment that in the end, when the temple is rebuilt, all sacrifices will cease except for the thanksgiving offering. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but I think the point is still, it's very deep, in the sense that even at the end, we won't need to sacrifice animals anymore, but we still will have the ability and the desire to thank God. And we know that thanking God is unlike really, well, I don't know about everything, but a lot of things, this is something you can't fake. You ever seen a kid and you give him something, here's your dinner, what do you say? Thank you. Right? Do they mean it? No, they don't. They don't mean it. They're saying it because they have to. But you can see it on their face. Thanks. Right? You come before God, you're really going to you're gonna do that? Thanksgiving is something that it comes from here. Yes, there is a Thanksgiving offering. And if you think about it, if you actually read the description in Leviticus 7, it's a very meager thing to give. There's some matzahs and some oil. I think in a way it's such a meager offering because the whole point is here. When you sin, yeah, you got to bring a huge cow because what you messed up big. I get it. You got to see death and slaughter in front of your eyes to see the consequences of straying from God. But when you're giving thanks, so what? You give God crackers and oil. It's like going out to Olive Garden. I mean, what do you it's nothing much. You know, a little dip. And there's no balsamic in here, but it's, the whole point is that it comes from here. And it's an attitude that says, I want to give God something, so I'm going to give him my heart. And then there's an accompanying sacrifice. But I think even in the Psalms, when it's talking about thanksgiving, it doesn't always mean the offering. I think it's speaking poetically, because there's also in Psalm 51, I believe, where it talks about a sacrifice of righteousness. So what's that? You know, you're not going to give him something correct, like something physical. You're going to give him your attitude, your behavior. You're going to give God something that means something with the way you behave. Right? We talked about earlier that we're living sacrifices, so we're going to give God our heart. I love in Psalm 107. I mean, it talks about a lot, giving God thanks. In Psalm 107, verse 21, it says, let them praise Adonai. And then here in Hebrew it says, Yodu. They will give thanks for his mercy and his wonders for the children of men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his work with joyful singing. And it goes through this whole psalm about rabbis notice four different events that for which men would thank God. And they talk about going down, if you're in the ocean, if your ship started to sink, you were walking through the desert, and other events that they would say, they said it's the method or the reason why people would offer thanksgiving offerings in the temple. I think it could be extrapolated to mean anything that we've gone through that's difficult, we can thank God for it. We know that ultimately that God has saved us, and so we should give him thanks. It's also when we give thanks, we're acknowledging God's sovereignty. And this is important. In Philippians 4, at verse 6, many of us know Philippians 4 is talking about they're not being anxious. But if you notice, it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, why would you thank someone before they've actually done it? You have a request. You ask God for what you need or whatever's troubling you, and you thank him before he's actually done anything. Why? Because he's in control. And that you trust that however he's going to answer you, maybe it's the way that you want it, or maybe it's the way that he wants it, or maybe it's the timing that is good for you, maybe in the timing that's best for you that he knows, that he's in control. How many of us as children, when our parents said something to us, you thought, oh, you're so unfair. I don't like you. I'm never going to speak to you again. And then 20 years later, now that you're an adult, you said, oh, I see what they meant. Thank you. Here, we're exhorted to thank God even before we get anything. Because God's in control and he knows what he's doing. So when we thank God, yes, you can thank him after the fact. You can even thank him before the fact. Because he's in control. And there's a whole psalm dedicated to giving thanks to God, which is Psalm 100. It's called in Hebrew, Mizmor Letodah, a psalm for thanksgiving. And it acknowledges, notice how it starts. It doesn't even start with thank God. It starts with a psalm of thanksgiving, shout joyfully to Adonai, all the earth. Serve Adonai with gladness. Come before his presence with joyful singing. Know that Adonai, he is God. Again, you see this theme that God is sovereign over the entire world, not just over Israel, but all of creation. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Then it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Praise his name, bless his name. Amen. That when we acknowledge not only is God in control, but that he made us. That we wouldn't, even our own existence is reason. If you ever have something, I don't know what I'm grateful for today. If you look in the mirror, you're alive. Thank God. Because God is our creator and God watches over us. And it says here that we are the sheep of his pasture. Not only does he created us, not only is he in control, but he tends to us. He provides food for us. If we're hurt, as we see the picture of Yeshua, if one sheep goes astray, he'll go after that sheep and bring it back on his shoulders. And then hold a party that we're back home. That this is a loving, close shepherd who moves amongst his flock to take care of them. When we thank God, it changes our perspective. We always have a choice in how we see things. And it's very important to have the right perspective. Because you can't change necessarily what happens, but you can change how you interpret it. You can look at certain things. I mean, look at the spies. You all know the story. They saw the exact same thing. 10 of them came back. They said they're giants, which is true. And they said, we're like grasshoppers in their eyes, which is true. Goliath was over 9 feet tall. And if based on the archaeological records, houses way back when were only about 5 feet or so. These people were small. So yeah, you have a dude who's twice your height. You look like a grasshopper in his eyes. The difference is that while these facts were true, that they knew that Joshua and Caleb knew that God was greater than they. So they had confidence that they could overcome. When we thank God, maybe a situation doesn't look the way we want it, but there's something else that we can thank God for. And even if you don't have something that immediately comes to your mind, you can thank God that He's in control. There's always something for which you can thank God. Always. I mean, even this morning, my wife's sick, my kid threw up. It's like, well, I got one healthy kid. I'm healthy. Our house is heated. Don't make the praise of God as be something so elaborate. It can be simple. Because there's so many things for which we're blessed. And one last thing. Don't ever feel bad because you're blessed. I hate that. Oh, we have so much more than the other world. Oh, we have too much stuff. You know what? If they were in our shoes, they wouldn't be saying that. They'd be grateful. I know my ancestors, when my family came over here, my grandmother said to her mom, came from Russia, "Why did you leave Russia?" She said, "To get the hell out of there." She watched her grandfather get beaten up just because he was Jewish. An old man beaten up by soldiers. And then she comes to America, and she's blessed, and she has great stuff. She's great. She's happy. She's thankful. Don't ever feel bad because you're blessed with stuff or you have a good life. There's nothing to rejoice in about poverty. It doesn't mean even if you are poor, though, you can thank God. But there's no glory in poverty. When you do thank God, even if you are blessed, and even if you'd say you have a great bank account, when you thank God, it also puts things in perspective, because then you don't rely on those things. You still rely on God. You know, as Paul says also in Philippians 4, "I've learned to be content in whatever situation. My bank account's great. My bank account's low. My car's running great. I got to take it to the shop. I'm grateful to God because He's in control." When we thank God, it puts things in perspective that He's in control and nothing else. Bernie Madoff was doing great until one bad day. You know, so be grateful for whatever you have and thank God for it. If it goes away, thank God you still have your life. And if you lose your life, thank God you don't have to deal with evil anymore. I'm telling you, there's always something for which we can be grateful. If you go to Psalm 136, you can read a whole psalm about being grateful. And what's fascinating about this psalm, it has the repetition, "Hodu l'Adonai ki tov, ki le'olam chasto." Right? Give thanks to God, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. And it's interesting to note that it goes through it describes first off that He's the God of gods, the Lord of lords. He does great wonders. He made heaven by wisdom, and He spread out the earth. He goes through God is supreme, then how He created the entire world, and then He goes further, beginning in verse 10, that how the exodus from Egypt, and the God's great works amongst the Egyptians, and then how He took them out and led them through the wilderness. I mean, the psalmist doesn't talk about any other history. And what struck me is that here I see the psalmist, because it doesn't say to whom this is attributed, he's recalling the events that led the people out of Israel, out of Egypt, to the land of Israel and has established them. I kind of get the sense maybe this guy, his faith is wavering, or maybe it's David and he's facing trials, or the enemies have come against him, and he's saying, "I know who God is. I know that He created all the universe, and I know that He took us out of Egypt, and He didn't just take us out there. He brought us out into the wilderness. He struck down great kings, and He took care of us even in our distress, as it says in 24, and separated between us, and He delivered us from our adversaries." And then notice the last, this is what's great. Verse 25, "Who gives food to all flesh." So he's gone from these great, magnificent praises of God to he'll provide my next meal. Sometimes our spirituality gets so ahead of us, we forget that we can thank God just for the simple things in front of us. And that's why we thank God for, you know, we don't bless the food. Let's make it clear. When we sit down and eat, we don't bless the food. If you eat pizza from Costco, blessing food ain't going to do anything for you. You're thanking God for the food. Why? Because you're grateful. You can eat. So it goes from this whole big thing that God will provide, even after God has saved us and brought us out, and now we're sovereign in our own nation, that God will provide food for us. Sometimes just keep it in perspective that that God is giving you food is enough. But it doesn't stop there. That he'll protect us and save us and redeem us. And the last verse, praise the God of heaven, that God is above all. This keeps, Thanksgiving keeps us humble. In Deuteronomy 8, Moses admonishes the people, says, listen, you're going to go in, and God's going to take out all your enemies, and I want you to remember who did this. Now notice, Israel had to fight, and they had to listen to their commander. And it says in Deuteronomy 8, we don't have to flip there, but it says, God warns them, says, I don't think that it's by your strength that you did this. And then he says, I gave you that strength, which is fascinating because sometimes people think, oh, God will do this for me. God will give even the strength in our bones, in our muscles to fight come from God. So that even though we have to go out and fight, we do so at the leading of the Lord, and whatever strength we have comes from God himself. So even when you get up and yeah, you did a day of work, maybe it wasn't that great, thank God that you had the strength to do so. Anybody ever been bedridden and you can't do anything? You know how terrible that is? It's awful. It's terrible. You sit there and you feel useless. So even when you can go to work, you say, you know what? Thank God I have a job and I have the strength to do it and I do it for the glory of God and I can pay my bills. Thank God. God gives us the strength to do what we have to do. Praising God also strengthens the faith of others. So many times in the Psalms, it talks about praising God amongst the people, telling the children of men what God has done. Psalm 105:1 says, praise Adonai, call upon his name again, hodu, give him thanks. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell about all his wonders. It's important to do this because it strengthens people's faith, right? Faith comes through hearing. So when you thank God, God did this for me, I want to praise God, they hear it, their faith is strengthened. Now, not only are you giving glory to God, but somebody else is edified. So even if you do it, if you're something for which you're grateful, tell somebody. Praise God here in the congregation. Lift him up. Tell your family, especially if they're not believers, or tell your friends. You want to know I'm going to tell you what God did, and I'm so grateful for it. That'll build up faith or start to let it germinate within them. It's not, again, this is not just about us, the individual. The individual has the ability to affect others. That the great things that God has done for us is, yes, it blesses us and we thank God for it, but it can bless others too. You can tell your spouse. Tell someone. And lastly, when we give thanks to God, it's often described along with physical exuberance. It's a nice word. Exuberance. Exuberance is something that's active, right? It's like if you ever, I was just in New York. You ever seen New Yorkers talk? It's exuberant. It moves. It's got action. It's got feeling. It's got emotion, right? When you praise God, thank you, God. Thank you. And then you just sit there. Like, how can you really sit still when the creator of the universe has saved you from death and done everything wonderful for you? Amen. When we recount the glory of God, how can your arms stay down? When I was watching the Lakers play Cleveland the other day, finally I get to watch a basketball game, my kids are asleep. Yes. Right? And I see them winning. I was like, yes, I don't like you, LeBron, but I'm glad you're winning for my team. It talks about constantly in the Psalms. It says, shout unto the Lord. And guess what? He's not speaking poetically. I was once at my uncle's synagogue in New York, and this young rabbi, and he's reading one of the Psalms on Rosh Hashanah, and he says, shout unto the Lord, all you peoples. It's like, oh my gosh. Ben Stein has more charisma than this guy. It was so ridiculous, and then the people respond. It's just the most boring thing I ever heard. So in Psalm 107:22, it says, let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with joyful singing. I don't care if you can't sing on pitch. Make some noise. I'm not giving you a guilt trip, too. The whole point is to encourage you. Because I'm going to keep saying it. It is powerful. And it'll make, when you worship God, it'll make it all the more powerful. And no one's looking. Amen. We'll worship God and praise God. You know what my kids do when they saw their grandfather? Papa! And they run to him, and they embrace him, and they go to him, and they jump on him, and they start, I thought he was going to break. I mean, they're all over him. Why should it be any different? Right, and we read Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving, shout joyfully to Adonai all the earth. Now that would be loud. But that's what we're talking about. And then again in Psalm 105:2, it says, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell about all his wonders. Singing, and as you go back to the Ephesians passage, what preceded the thanksgiving was singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in our hearts. But it comes from our hearts, but it's got to come out of our mouth. That when we come here to worship, and again, I'm not putting guilt upon you. I know some people, I'm louder than most of you. I get it. But you got to, you know, think about what God has done and how great he is. When you read the words or think about the week, so be grateful and let it show. And I'm not keeping count. My point is, it's going to be better for you and for us. Again, it's us. It's individually within us. As we all lift up praise, I honestly could cry thinking about us all giving of our hearts to the whatever degree we can. Lifting up the praises of God and our Messiah, how amazing this place will be. Let's make the angels be jealous. You know, it's powerful when you thank God and like really do it. You ask God, and if you're embarrassed, if you're a little reserved, pray, ask God. Again, God gives us the strength. He gives us the strength. He gives us what we need to do his will. It's not something you have to fabricate or try to muster. And there may be blocks within you, your past or something, and we can work that out. Don't ever feel embarrassed that you got something maybe is impeding you from doing it. I'm just a phone call away. You know, but we have to come out and praise God because he's so good. So good. And there's always something for which we can be grateful. Always and for everything. Always and for everything. Let's pray. We thank you, God, our Father. You give us every good and perfect gift. We thank you most of all for Yeshua, our Lord, who has taken us out of death. I pray you remind us within the depths of our being how great a salvation we have in you, Lord, and what you have done for us. Without you, Lord, we would be dead in our sins. And we would be without hope, without God, ultimately. Even for those of us who are Jewish, yes, you've made a covenant with us, Lord, but we've been unfaithful. And only through Yeshua can we actually serve you, Lord, in truth and righteousness. We thank you, God, for your gift of life. Thank you for Yeshua. Let us never take it for granted. Return us to our first love. And Lord, thank you for America. Thank you for our freedoms here. Thank you for this congregation that we can worship in public. And bless each and every one here. I pray that next week, this coming week, throughout every day, and when we come here on Shabbat, we will be filled with praise and thanksgiving. For you are good. Show us for what we can be grateful. In the name of Yeshua. Amen.